things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to Week 5 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
It is the Father and Son Podcast, and once again, we are back to talk about a Packers win.
Packers win 4-1.
Yes.
Over the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington. And really, Rodgers has just dominated anytime he goes to Texas, or to Dallas, I should say, ever since he's been the Packers starter. I think they showed a stat during the game that Brett Favre was 2-9.
Yes. Yes.
In Dallas throughout his career, and Rodgers is now 7-2.
That's crazy.
So, you know, part of that might also be the difference in Dallas teams, but this is a good Dallas team. Mm-hmm. They've been a good Dallas team for a lot of Rodgers' tenure.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it was with Favre, with Aikman, and who was their big running back?
Emmitt Smith.
Emmitt Smith. Nice job, Mike, with the name recall.
Wow, man, I haven't even had coffee this morning.
Yeah, quizzing you early.
Recording Tuesday morning, in case you hear any giggling in the background, it's because of the daycare, but the Packers did win 34
That's Mike giggling
to 24. That's when Sean tickles me. Don't touch me there.
Yeah, 34-24. Started the game up by 14 and then really never got all that much closer than that until the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. It really took them until, I think there was 2 minutes left in the third quarter before they scored. Defense held them for almost three quarters.
Yep. I've seen some fans like complain online that they didn't feel secure with the lead and stuff, but we held the lead the whole game. There was two missed field goals, so it could have easily been 34-30,
mm-hmm.
which would make that, you know, stat line look a little bit different.
Sure.
There was a handful of plays just in the game, though, that it kind of felt like the Cowboys were shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
Like that second field goal they missed. They made it and then had a, was it a false start or whatever the penalty was?
I don't remember.
Backed it up and then they missed it.
Yeah, and some really timely interceptions, too, that really killed some drives for Dallas. And that's our defense this year. And that's what they've been doing. And it was just, I'm just pleased to only have one loss this year.
4-1.
And against
almost 5-0. We were a 1 yard rush, touchdown rush.
That's
away
where I was going.
From being 5-0. That's where you were going.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and a very good team we lost to. So it's not like, you know, back in the day when I hated when we'd lose to a team we shouldn't lose to.
What do you mean? You don't think that's going to happen this season?
Nope.
We do that every season.
Nope, it's not happening this
year. We lose to a team. There's no way we should lose. Do we play the Dolphins? I can see us losing to the Dolphins.
You know, I went to print out the schedule before you came over, and it's like every – I don't know, I must have gotten some kind of Google loop or something, because every place I went, it's like I had to pay to print out the schedule.
Boom. There you go.
We'll print it.
That was pretty quick, huh?
Oh, stop it. You always have to show me up.
It didn't ask me to pay. It must like me better.
We didn't. I think our first drive was not good. I think it was like 3 and out. But then after that, everything.
Was our first drive though the one where we had 3rd and 3 and then got backed up to like 3rd and 23 after a couple penalties?
I don't remember.
Because I'm pretty sure that was the first drive, and that'll make it kind of hard.
Yeah.
But we were moving the ball pretty well this whole game.
Right.
You know, Rodgers came out after the game and said, maybe not statistically wise, but he felt this was his best game of the season. And I agree.
I agree.
The way we saw him moving in the pocket, evading sacks,
mm-hmm.
Extending plays when he needed, getting the ball out quick when he needed to, all around. I was happy.
And that's without his best receiver.
Yeah, without Adams and without Jamal Williams.
Right.
And we saw this game that – Dexter is not Jamal Williams. Mm-hmm. I think Trey Carson played instead of Dexter, actually, and we didn't really see much of him at all in pass protection.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows how much
they And Graham had a game.
Yeah, Graham had a good game.
I mean, he actually was catching and blocking and getting in the way to help the other players. And
this is why you give those huge contracts to players like Aaron Rodgers, because they're the guys that lift the team up when there's those injuries and those key guys are missing. You know, you pay him to be able to go out there and say, okay, Adams is gone. We need you to find a way to get the ball to other guys.
I don't know how much of it is the media hype that goes with the Dallas, because, you know, supposedly they have the biggest fan base in the NFL, but they're constantly in the news. And of course you've got a owner that loves to have his face in the news as well. So I was nervous going into the game, especially knowing our number one receiver was injured. And you're playing indoors on turf like that. And so I thought, if possible, maybe might be able to play. But, you know, playing on turf like that, I thought probably nix him.
Our first big play of the game was that deep pass by Rodgers to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And then he kind of disappeared after that. We didn't really see much of him at all. Let's see if he had 4 targets for 1 catch. So he had that 1 18-yard catch and then nothing after that besides the targets.
Mm.
I think, especially when Adams is out, they need to find a way to keep MVS more involved in the game because he has the speed. He's open a lot.
I agree.
And it seems like the plays aren't designed to have Rodgers looking that way a lot of the time.
That's one of the things I was questioning, too, with still trying to figure out the offense, where sometimes it's like Aaron has, like, this tunnel vision when he's looking at a player. Like, he... You know, one of his great strengths is to be able to look at the whole field. But I feel like sometimes, especially with Jimmy Graham, that he'll be really focused on Jimmy Graham. And he'll just keep – he's going to throw it to him no matter what.
Yeah. Graham 3 for 3 in this game for 41 yards. Good to see him in the game without one or two catchable drops.
Right.
Because that feels like every good game he's had with us as a Packer, there's still some drops that it's like, come on, you know, we're paying you how many millions because you're the tight end that catches those passes.
And when he says we, he means we, because we are owners.
Mm-hmm.
We do. I had somebody ask me that recently.
We also don't see many of those millions we're paying all these players.
Right. somebody asked me if I was a owner, if I bought stock, because people like to make fun of it because – back in the day, the Packers did that money grab where they allowed people to buy stock. And so, yes, we do. And it's still yet to be hung up on the wall.
If anyone who knows Mike knows, it will take decades to get things hung up on the wall.
That's right. That is so true, man. That is so true.
Aaron Jones was kind of the story of the Packers offense this game. He had 19 rushes, 107 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like Matt LaFleur heard all week after that Eagles loss, you should have run it in the red zone at the goal line. And then guess what we did?
Yeah.
We ran it, and he got 4 touchdowns. You know, not a crazy number on yardage. He still broke 100, but
right.
4 touchdowns, that's big.
That is huge, and he averaged over 5.5 yards a carry. That's pretty good. He had some nice breaks. He got out in the field pretty well.
The other thing they did really well this game is they didn't let Elliott take over the game. Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Cowboys, he had 12 attempts for 62 yards. He was averaging 5.2 yards a carry and had a touchdown, but we only allowed 12 running attempts. So, yeah, you know, he's effective. We probably would have had a hard time stopping him. We would have had to kind of sell out to stop the run because that's the kind of player he is. But they had to pass all game because we started with our foot on the pedal and they were behind. You can't, you know, be committed to the run if you're trying to play catch-up.
Right.
Speaking of playing catch-up, though, they did throw early and often. Prescott threw 44 times, had 27 completions for 463 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I'd say that's probably the biggest number there, the 3 interceptions, because you can throw as many yards as you like, but if you're turning the ball over to the other team, it's going to be hard to win the game.
Yeah, like I said, that he had some timely ones that really killed some drives that they had. And that, helped them stay blanked until almost the fourth quarter and scoring anything.
Yeah. Their receivers, though, especially Amari Cooper, you know, we've talked a lot about Jaire Alexander being a blanket shutdown guy, but he was struggling with Cooper a lot of this game. He was getting burnt on some double moves.
Mm-hmm.
14 targets, 11 receptions, 226 yards and a touchdown for Cooper.
That's crazy.
So he's averaging 20 yards a target.
That's crazy.
Part of it is we were getting a rush to Prescott. We have been all season, but not the same pass rush we have been. So it's giving them a little more time. That's going to make it harder on the secondary. But just between Cooper and, is it Michael Gallup, I think, their second receiver?
I'm not sure.
They had 339 yards.
And wasn't it odd to see Randall Cobb in a Cowboy uniform? It's just not right.
It was weird to see him. He caught 3 of 6 targets, and you had to wonder, like, did he want to catch those 3 targets? What team is he still on here? Did you see him hanging out with Rodgers before the game, and Jordy was there sporting his Kentucky Randall Cobb jersey?
Yep, I saw that. That's cool.
And then Jordy was crashing on Randall Cobb's couch after the game. So it's good to see they're all still friends.
Yeah, that's. But it's just, I don't know. You know, this kind of goes with my theory, too, that I don't understand where people will, hate. Let's just use Minnesota fans, Viking fans. Hated Brett Favre. Never had anything good to say of Brett Favre. And then when he becomes their quarterback, he's like, oh, we love Brett Favre. It's just like, you know, appreciate the player for what they are. You know, I've talked to other fans, too. Just because, let's say you got a defensive player that really beats up your quarterback, but you can still appreciate what they do, what their athleticism is. But it was odd to see Randall Cobb in a Dallas Cowboy jersey, but he didn't really factor much into the game. He did have 53 yards, but it wasn't huge.
Rodgers took 2 sacks in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, they did show a statistic at the end of the game. Bulaga has gone up against some of the top pass rushers in the game so far, including Khalil Mack, and has given up 0 sacks this season.
Wow.
So he's having quite the year, but 2 sacks for Rodgers. You know, none of them that really stuck out as drive enders or anything this game. We've seen that a lot on third downs, him taking sacks, but didn't really seem to be too much of an issue. We got to Prescott 3 times on sacks.
Mm-hmm.
The Smith brothers
have
just been dominant. Let me see if I can.
Oh, you just, yeah, I was just going to make a comment. You just moved the.
Sorry.
Okay.
1 second. I was just going to look. Za'Darius Smith, 2 sacks. Preston Smith, 1.
Yeah, they were dominant.
That shows.
We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different receivers that caught passes from Rodgers. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Going back to the Smith brothers, though, it just kind of shows how, like, this is the second season now that we're seeing the impact that, like, the new GM is making, Gutekunst.
Mm-hmm.
Because you bring in the free agents, the Smith brothers. That, you know, a lot of people question that move a lot in the offseason, especially the amount of money we're paying them and everything. But look at the difference it's made. It's transformed the whole defense. It's allowed other key playmakers to do their, you know, really step into their role and kind of come into their own. And they just have an energy on the defense.
Yeah, I don't know if we can give them all the credit for the energy, but there definitely is. They are moving, and they are quick, and they're making plays. And it's nice. That's like you just kind of, when you're watching a game, you kind of feel like, oh, man, I feel like the momentum's shifting a little bit. You know, Dallas is putting a drive together, and all of a sudden, bam.
Yeah.
One of them steps up and does it.
That or Dallas shoots themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
They did that a few times.
They did.
Speaking of shooting yourself in the foot, it's pretty hard when you get a 15-yard penalty on your head coach.
Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Makes you wonder what he said to that ref.
Oh, I mean, it was automatic. He said something to him, and it's like he just reached back and threw the flag. So I'm sure it wasn't have a nice day. But
yeah, I'm sure. Aaron Jones was basically our offense this game. Because we had other receivers, but no one over, I think Graham was the second highest receiver with 41 yards. Aaron Jones had 7 receptions on 8 targets for 75 yards. So 182 all-purpose yards between receiving, and rushing. Makes you wonder who the game ball is going to be at the end of the episode.
I was just thinking that. I guess it's not much of a question there, huh?
I would have liked to see more from Trey Carson. He was coming in and playing with Jamal Williams out. He had 6 attempts for 14 yards, so he's averaging just over 2 yards a carry, and really just not much there that we saw. But it was good to see, you know, Aaron Jones looking like Aaron Jones. Looking like the best running back in Dallas.
That's a good point. One of the things I like, too, is his cutbacks that he was doing, that he was bouncing out and doing stuff that, you know, when you can collapse the defense to, like, plug up the middle and then you bounce out and be quick about it and be able to get those big gashes and yards.
Yeah. Well, and he had that red zone touchdown with his vision where he kind of, like, bounced it to the outside, did the end around, and then he waved goodbye to the defender as he ran into the end zone.
If that was against us, I wouldn't have liked it.
But as long as we're the ones waving,
right,
it's okay.
And then he also, they were doing direct snaps to him, which is a new wrinkle that they were, instead of Rodgers handing off, he would just go right to Aaron Jones, and so he was able to get a little bit quicker up on the line.
Big difference this game in time of possession. We had almost 37 minutes. They had just over 23. We've seen kind of some weird time of possession games this season where we've been winning games with significantly less time of possession.
Right.
So it's good to see. I mean, that's how you win away games. Mm-hmm. You go in, you run the ball, you dominate the clock, and you don't give their offense chances to do what an offense can do in a home game, especially a loud home game where you're playing in a dome. And the fans can, you know, be that 13th or 12th man, 13th man. They better be throwing a flag if that's the case.
I just wanted to give the stats for Rodgers. Was 34 attempts for 22 completions and 238 yards. It just looked more efficient. I just felt a lot better. I'm glad to that he had more confidence coming out of the game than he has been. And so it looked like they were opening up the playbook a little bit more. And like I said, I mean, those direct snaps, I mean, I don't remember us ever doing those before, right to the running back. So
yeah, one of them, it looked like, I don't remember if it was a first down or a touchdown for Jones, but it was a direct snap to Aaron Jones. And it looked like it might have been an accidental one. Because we had the new center in. Our center got injured. I'm trying to think of who the backup was for Linsley. But snapped it kind of to the side of Rodgers. And Rodgers kind of just reached out and tapped the ball towards Jones. And Jones caught it and ran for a first down. It's like, you wonder how much of that was planned or how much of that. Well, that worked out. Third down efficiency this game was it's been an area we've looked at every game this season so far, and it hasn't been great. I think the only time we had a third down efficiency percentage over 50% was in our loss to the Eagles. We were like 62%.
Okay.
We were 3 of 12 this game, so 25%. Not great. Part of it is third down's harder on the road. Third down is also hard against one of the best defenses in the league right now, especially one of the best defenses on third down, because it's the same thing we saw with playing the Vikings, where they have a stud linebacker core, fast guys who cannot allow you to convert those easy, you know, third and shorts.
Right.
So you almost expected third down to not be very successful this game, but that's why a lot of the drives that we saw, sustained drives that we moved down the field on them, we weren't coming across many third downs. You're getting that first down on chunk plays on first and second down. So I think it's something we need to improve in, but it's, you know, it's also somewhat expected this game.
Well, the total yardage, though, it was way, way out of whack.
Yeah, the Cowboys were moving the ball all over the place, but then they kept turning it over.
Yep, exactly. Or doing stupid penalties and stuff. Mm-hmm. So 563 yards for the Cowboys, 335 for the Packers.
We allowed another kick return, not for a touchdown, but another, like, you know, gouging kick return this game. one that Crosby almost didn't get up from.
I know, he did not look good.
He tackled the guy with his hip for some reason.
Yeah. Well, he's a kicker. He's not made to tackle.
Yeah, but as a kicker, what's your moneymaker? Your hip.
That's a good point. I'll give it to you.
We don't have, obviously a backup kicker, and we've seen the last couple of seasons, it's hard to find a reliable kicker in the league right now.
Yeah,
so
it is.
You really want to stop seeing
your kicker,
Mason Crosby, stopping these long kickoff returns, but, is that the third week already this season? He's had to tackle a guy to maybe save a touchdown return?
Right.
It's just kind of frustrating. Penalties on the game, we had 9 penalties for 78 yards. They had 11 for 124. Or 10 for 109 on the team. You have to add in the coach's penalty.
Oh.
I don't know why that made me so happy. Red zone efficiency, we saw Aaron Jones get in the end zone. 4 out of our 5 trips in the end zone, we came out with touchdowns. They were 1 for 3 in the red zone.
Yeah.
And, those are the big stats. Those are the stats that show who's going to win a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they got more yards than us. Yes, they moved the ball more. Yes, they threw the ball more and had some bigger, number receivers. But like we've said before, NFL games come down to a handful of plays.
Yep.
At certain periods in the game, and whichever team wins those moments typically wins the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the Packers were winning those moments. They've kind of been winning those moments all season.
Yeah, it's a different team.
It is.
It's different.
Different team, different feel.
Yep. And I'm starting to get a little bit of a when you had McCarthy for so long, you kind of knew what he was going to do, what was going to come up next. But now with LaFleur, you kind of learn his deal, and I think he's finding his way as he's going.
And I think they're kind of opening up the playbook more and more as the season goes on as well. I don't think we've seen the final Matt LaFleur offense. He came in because of he's the guy that will scheme to get, to game plan against other teams and to get guys the ball that we need to have the ball. And, that's kind of his whole thing. I think we're just kind of seeing that this is still a new offense that we're coming into here.
Yep.
Luckily, with Mike Patton's second year defense and some new faces, they compensate. The offense doesn't need to be scoring 50 points a game for us to be winning these games.
Yep. Yep.
And I
remember in last year and years before where it's like you felt like you had to get at least 35, 30-plus points in order to win.
To have a chance at winning.
Yeah, and because we knew that our defense wasn't going to be able to hold the opposing team if they have an offense at all.
Do you know about the XFL, the other football league they're starting?
Yeah.
Did you see as part of their, initial draft, Ladarius Gunter, our former cornerback, is in the draft for the XFL. And so I was kind of reading more about him, and he kind of got the short end of the stick when it comes to the NFL, because he came in as a 6th-round draft pick, was going to be a developed future player with a lot of potential, and instead, in his rookie year, he comes in, we throw him in the number one QB or cornerback spot because of injuries, and we're in the NFC wildcard game, and he's going up against Julio Jones.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah.
He kind of got thrown to the wolves, and hopefully it works out for him in the XFL.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of like what happened. I can't remember the other league that went defunct after, half their season. But a lot of those guys got picked up in the NFL.
And a lot of them did.
And so it's interesting when you look at it from the flip side and say, so what is it, NFL people, maybe you need to reevaluate how you evaluate and you look at players.
Well, I think we've seen for quite a while now, especially with the draft and guys coming out of the draft, who ends up being good, who ends up, being a bust, that a lot of the time scouts have no clue what they're doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of them, the best ones, will probably admit that to you.
Yeah, Ron Wolf just came out. He talked about Tom Brady. He said that when they were, he got, I think it was 2 or 3 different scouts told him, just forget him. He's no good. Tom Brady is not anything. And so they whiffed on him. They didn't draft him. They could have drafted Tom Brady. Imagine how that would have changed
things. A lot of
things.
Teams could have drafted Tom Brady.
Yeah. But he said that that's just the, you know, part of the fresh. That's probably the biggest whiff, he said, in his career, that he trusted these guys too much. And I, my thinking is, so did you keep them afterwards? Did you keep the same guys, or are you still whiffing?
And I think part of it, too, is it feels like we've even gotten a little worse with scouting players and how they're going to be in the NFL than we used to be, because now you have all these metrics. You have the computers that can hold on to stats
right.
throughout a whole player's, you know, high school, college career.
Mm-hmm.
You can analyze everything to death. When old school scouts went out there and they said, who out here can play football?
Yeah.
And yeah. a lot of it, that's what it comes down to. You have quarterbacks who don't have the metrics. The Tom Brady's who, you know, they come in, they can't run very fast. They're not the strongest guy. They're not going to wow you in any way. But they go out there and they play football and they
yeah.
win games.
And they win. That's what you want. You want
Which
win.
Is kind of what a lot of people in Minnesota, reminder to everyone that we're Packer fans in the heartland of Minnesota Vikingville. It's the main thing they're complaining about with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, that he has the numbers, he has the talent, but he doesn't have that, you know, he's not a gamer. He doesn't go in and win those close games. He doesn't make the difference when
right.
a difference needs to be made.
Yeah, and well, it's not that they're just complaining. I mean, it's a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't win them. See, I was just trying to look at my, let's say I talked about no Adams, no problem.
Mike has notes. Man. Oh, he's got notes, guys.
Oh, yeah, that I put, you already mentioned the Jason Garrett, the penalty with that.
Yeah.
The, gosh, we backed it up like 3-4 times just to
yeah.
watch it.
Well, and then they kept showing his face, and he just looks upset. And like I said during the game, Jason Garrett just looks like the gym coach who takes his job too seriously.
I know. All right. What is that? Dodgeball. We're going to play dodgeball.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that old dodgeball movie?
No, I haven't.
You got to play by the, what is it, the four Ds of dodgeball or something? Dip, duck, dive, and dodge. 3 interceptions in this game. Could have been 4. Kevin King got one. He could have gotten a second one, I think. It kind of
bounced
off. It was close.
Yeah.
Jair Alexander had one that kind of fell like manna from the heavens into his hand.
It did.
Like the receiver had it. I think it was Cooper. Kind of scooped it.
Yes.
Lost it, and then it just landed in Alexander's hands, and he's like, "I guess I should run the other direction.
I should go this way."
And then Sullivan with a really nice interception where you kind of just saw it. Not a full throw across the body for Prescott on that one, but he did kind of throw it across the middle of the field, and Sullivan just with the extension snagging that out of the air. That was fun to see. And
yeah.
we just have a ball hawking defense. You see that difference on teams where every team in the NFL has a defense that can get interceptions. These are all players who can get interceptions because that's how they got to this level. But certain defenses are looking for the turnover more than
mm-hmm.
others.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to, you know, miss a few tackles to try to get some turnovers to change a game.
Well, we talked about the Smiths. I mean, they were definitely disrupting the offense. I mean, they were in the face. They were getting sacks. And
yeah.
it disrupts the whole – that's the whole idea of trying to get the other – you're trying to control the game. You're trying to influence how they're going to play the game. And then when you come out, like I said, where you basically hold them scoreless for 3 quarters, it changes up the whole game. That's why your head coach gets a penalty. He's frustrated. It's not supposed to be this way.
This isn't how this goes when we're at home.
I love that Jerry Jones, too. I love when they show him up in his booth, his owner's booth, and he's upset and throwing stuff around. It's like, yes, yes, yes. We're beating them all.
Beating them all. I'm trying to find, I don't think they have the stat on here, just percentage of pressure that we got on defense.
Because
it feels like throughout the season, we've been over 50% on pressuring the QB on dropbacks, or at least close, because, you know, we're not always getting to the quarterback, especially in this game. Their offensive line held up better, I think.
Oh, they got a good offensive line.
Than a lot of teams have. But we were still, you know, collapsing the pocket, at least getting in Prescott's face and making a lot of those throws harder than they might have been otherwise.
No, I don't think you're going to find it, buddy.
No, I don't think so. So I'm going to put you back there.
All right.
It was nice to have Oren Burks back on defense. So he's, you know, I think first game back, first game of the season, it's going to take him a while to get his feet under him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even play the whole game, but he's one of those talented speed linebackers that we saw, you know, and we talked about, like, with the Cowboys and with the Vikings. They can stop teams on third down because of their linebackers, and that's what Oren Burks, I think, is kind of going to be for us. Mm-hmm. Him and Martinez, I'm excited to see on the field together.
I agree. And then Martinez being the stud he is.
Mm-hmm. And even Redmond this game, I think he kind of, you know, didn't have the best game against the Eagles, but he stepped up, and I didn't see any big mistakes that you could really point at this game with Redmond. So all around, you know, I was pretty happy with the way the defense played, even though we started kind of getting gouged in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that might be play calling. It might be, you know, letting them get some bigger chunk plays as we just try to get the ball back and kill clock.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not that we're letting them get plays, but we're not playing quite as tight as we would have in the first half.
I agree. And then they eat up the clock. You know, that's mm-hmm. not unusual. But every defensive coordinator does it a little different. So we're still figuring this one out. But as on the whole, our defense looks good. It looks very good. And we know we've got an offense, so that's pretty cool to have.
And like we just said, what you want to do when you're winning against a team, especially when in a away game, how do you, you know, keep that lead, get that win? You don't give them the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
Our time of possession in the fourth quarter, 11 minutes, 31 seconds to their 3 minutes and 29 seconds.
And that's crazy because they did score.
I mean, but they scored fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But it was a good game in general. And just
fun
throw
to watch.
That out there. Yeah, it was. And, of course, when you dominate three quarters and then, you know, you hold on for the win at the end, it's fun. I mean, you're getting some timely turnovers. I mean, it's just really, really a fun game. If you get a chance, if you didn't see it, you know, it's worth it to go online and bring it up.
Yeah. And not only that, I feel like we maybe had taken this Packer team and the Aaron Rodgers-led Packer team for granted at certain points, but we've now had two seasons in a row of losing seasons and some really ugly losses every season, mm-hmm. and watching, you know, them salt away what should be wins.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that difference, and it makes you really appreciate, you know, Packer Sundays more when you can go in and know we're one of the top teams in the league right now. Yeah. We're going to go punch the Cowboys in the mouth.
It's fun watching the difference between LaFleur and Pettine on the sidelines. Pettine always looks like he needs some hemorrhoid cream. And LaFleur just kind of looking, he almost has like a baffled look. Like he's a little out of sorts. But just the, you know, Pettine is the guy who's just like, rah, 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 go, go,
energy.
Go. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then LaFleur is like,
the juju.
Let's think about this for a moment here. It's two different styles.
LaFleur always
kind of
looks like he's pouting to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like he's always just not like complaining, just a little bit sad about something. Like this, he's just like thinking about a dog he had a decade ago as a kid.
Lassie.
And it's just making him a little bit sad.
I'm sorry. I'm just a little ADD. I know I'm supposed to be calling a play right now, but I'm trying to remember a spot from when I was a kid.
Yeah, exactly. He has that look on his face. But as we know, your wife, my mother, is a big fan.
She's a big fan of his look.
So you can't talk too bad about Maddie.
I know, but I know she listens, so we can make fun of her.
Which I called him Maddie a couple times this game before she realized we were talking about the coach, because she's so used to our coaches being named Mike.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what, it was three coaches before this in a row were Mike, right? Mike McCarthy.
Mike Sherman.
Mike Sherman, and there's a Mike in between there.
Yeah, man.
Holmgren.
Yes. God, I can't believe it. I feel so silly. I couldn't remember.
You look
that.
Silly.
But yeah, we still got the M.
So we're 4-1.
Yeah.
Five games in.
Yeah.
Very close to 5-0. And something we've touched on quite a bit every game this season is that there's so much potential for this team to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Every game, they've played well, but there's areas that they could have improved on. They could have played better. They have the talent to do better. And that's exciting. The fact that we're 4-1 playing against very good teams. We have not had an easy schedule for the beginning of this season. And we're going in with a winning record and more potential to grow. Because you don't want to peak
right.
in August,
right.
September, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. And yes, we've had some injuries. There was a lot more injuries this Dallas game than we've seen. And I feel like that happens a lot. When we're playing in the domes and playing on the AstroTurf compared to grass, it just mm-hmm. seems like when players aren't used to it, it's more common to have them on the ground.
There was some talk that I think it was Za'Darius.
Za'Darius Smith. I would believe it. I mean, that guy, like, three times in, like, the fourth quarter, he's just laying there. And the trainers are like, oh, what's wrong? And he's, like, pointing at shit in the crowd. And I didn't mean to swear. But
but he is.
And
he
then
was.
He goes to walk off the field, and he's, like, walking just fine, but he's, like, inching forward. Like, you're like, I just need to give my defense a little bit longer here, and I'll go out this play because that's the rules, but I'll be back next play. And then, you know, in a couple plays, we'll do this again, guys. We'll see you soon. So it's just,
oh man, I got a cramp in my stomach now. Laughing too hard.
And if that was the Cowboys doing that, I would have been pretty frustrated.
Yeah, that,
but yeah. So hopefully, you know,
yeah,
it
like
didn't
a wave when you go in the end zone.
Exactly. You know? It didn't seem like any major injuries this game. Anything like too concerning.
I haven't heard anything.
Me
I
neither.
Looked.
Hopefully we get good news from Jamal Williams. Hopefully it's just one game he missed. Hopefully Aaron Jones with his toe will be back. It's a Monday night game coming
so
up against the Lions.
Day, yeah. Day and a half.
An extra day and a half. So I don't know. I'm excited for where we are, what we're looking at as far as the season. Were there any other games this past Sunday that stuck out to you? Seahawks on Thursday night got a win in a big game.
That was
against
a big
Rams.
Game. That was mm-hmm. that was a good game. I
30-29.
A little bit of it. Eagles trounced the Jets. What was the Vikings beat the Giants?
28-10.
I expected it to be closer
that
than that.
It was not a close game.
No. Where was the huge? Oh, Texans over the Falcons, 53-32. Wowza.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's crazy.
Patriots roll. Still undefeated. I think the Redskins scored first to go up 7-0, and then it was 33 points unanswered for the Patriots to win 33-7.
And you know what that did? That got the coach fired.
Yeah.
So,
well, you can't fire the owner, like you said.
Right. And what was
Bears lost to the Raiders.
Yeah, that surprised me.
The Raiders.
That really
Chase Daniel.
Me. I think you picked that one, didn't you?
Well, it turns out Chase Daniel is not a starting quarterback. The Bears' backup quarterback right now with Trubisky out.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people online saying, man, he looked good. Trubisky's been real, you know, not what they've expected. And Chase Daniel came in there, and he looked really good last week. Part of that is a lot of time a backup quarterback can look better because that's not who the team game planned for.
Right, right.
But the other thing is he's been in the league 11 years. He's never been a starter, and there's a reason for that. He's a backup quarterback.
Right.
So they lost to the Raiders. I think the Raiders are 3-2. You know, they look like they probably wouldn't win a game going into the season, but they're okay.
How about Teddy Bridgewater for New Orleans?
Yeah.
Wins another one.
Yeah, I think.
The Buccaneers. He beat the Buccaneers 31-24. The Buccaneers aren't that bad. They're good.
And they really formed the offense around him more because, you know, Drew Brees is that mid-range pass to deep pass guy. He's going to stretch the field. Teddy's going to throw it 3 yards, you know, and they've really changed. You know, this is Teddy's offense, and when Breeze is back, we'll go back. But, you know, you have to adjust to the guy you have under center and their strengths.
And going back to what you're saying about backups, I mean, Teddy turned down, I can't remember, I don't know if they ever even mentioned which teams. I think there were two different teams that were trying to get him to come to their team to play as the starter. And he turned him down so he could stay. He wanted to get another year watching Drew Brees. So good for him. I'm happy for him. That's impressive when you lose your starting quarterback and you can still keep winning games.
Makes you wonder how many years Drew's planning on playing till retirement. Maybe they've kind of told Teddy, you're in the wings. Obviously, that's complete speculation. Yeah. I just thought of it, so I said it. you know?
I don't know, because Drew still looks really good.
He does look good, and you've seen, it's not the same NFL. Quarterbacks can play a little bit later. Like, look at Brady.
Right.
Rodgers doesn't look like he's slowing down.
Nope.
Phillip Rivers is up there. You're seeing a lot of guys that are able to.
Except for Eli Manning.
I was going to say, Manning's out, Roethlisberger's hurt, Breeze is technically hurt, but that's just his thumb. He doesn't need a thumb.
You don't need a thumb to throw.
You don't need a thumb to throw the ball.
You want to do the game ball?
Let's do the game ball.
All right. Have we already kind of tipped
Aaron,
it?
Four touchdowns, Jones with the game ball.
And he's going to get fined for the ball that he threw in the stands.
He threw that hard. Like, I hope whoever he threw that at was watching. Because he threw it like an NFL pass.
Yeah. No, I couldn't believe it. I always, was it like 10 grand, I think?
I think it's, or at least it used to be. It's probably like 50 now. knowing the NFL. But yeah, he did throw that hard. Did you see they gave him the game ball in the locker room after the game?
No,
it was
his
first game ball of his career.
Cool.
And he tried to give it to his lineman. And they wouldn't take it. They made him keep it.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, yeah, it was cool.
That is very cool. Well, I'm happy for him. He had a monster of a game. Hey, just want to remind you that I do some other stuff, not just podcasts. I do podcast intros and outros and stuff like that for you. But anything voice-related, voiceguynextdoor.com is my website. And I've got my contact information. I've got my demos. And I'd love to chat with you. You know, I think a lot of times people get a little, it's scary because if you don't know the industry and you're looking at, maybe you need to, your phone system needs to be updated and you want to have some new prompts, I can help you out with that stuff. And I can lead you the way. So give me a shout. It's voiceguynextdoor.com.
You want to move on to picks?
Sure.
All right. So we were tied going into week 5. We differed on a few games.
I don't think I did good this week.
I took the Vikings to beat the Giants. I was correct.
Mm-hmm.
You were wrong.
Yes. What was it? You were right?
Yes, you were wrong. And then I took the Bears to beat the Raiders. For some reason, Mike took the Raiders.
Yep.
And the Raiders won. And we both took the Packers to beat the Cowboys.
So I'm down 2?
No. No. You need to work on your math skills.
Oh, okay.
So I won the first game, Vikings, and then you picked the Raiders. You won that pick.
Oh,
so we're
I didn't
still tied.
Okay. Cool.
We're still tied,
I thought
Mike.
For sure I was going to go backwards. Okay.
You're just looking at, you know, past history.
Okay.
You're expecting to go backwards.
So now we've got,
looking at
got a couple
week.
Of.
We only have 2 NFC North games to pick. Bears are on bye.
Okay.
They'll still find a way to lose.
and get injured.
That would be the Vikings. The Vikings bye would have so much locker room drama and so much Twitter drama that by the time they got to their next game, the whole team would have quit.
It is. I mean,
yeah,
right now,
it's
crazy.
With Diggs and stuff.
They need to go rent a boat and go out on the lake and get into some legal problems.
I was going to say, last time that happened. Eagles versus Vikings in Minnesota. Who you got?
I'm going to go Eagles.
You're going Eagles?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going Vikings.
Okay. All right. Make a note.
All right. Yeah. Especially, I think, at home, too. And I think, you know, obviously I want the Eagles to win that game. Because let's say we get down to the end of the season and we're, like, looking at kind of, like, tiebreakers, who's going to get which seed in the division. Mm-hmm. If we lose to the Eagles and the Vikings beat them, that could be, you know, could make a difference. So I would like the Eagles to win, but I think the Vikings come away with this one.
Okay. All right.
And then we have Monday night, Lions versus Packers. I got Packers.
I got Packers.
Oh, look at that. We both got Packers.
And it's probably going to be a lot like the typical game. It's going to be close.
Yeah, Lions are not the Lions of old this year.
Mm-mm.
They've beat some good teams. They beat the Eagles. They went down to the wire with the Chiefs, just lost
on a
last second.
That's a gut
play.
Check right
so,
there, man.
So, you know, they are not an easy team at all this year. So it's going to, we have not had really any easy games.
No, we haven't.
So yeah, you know, I'm excited though. We've shown it doesn't, we can go in and we can play against any team in the league right now, I think. So, you want me to pull up? You said you were looking for kind of our coming schedule. Let's look up until the bye. We have a week 11 bye. so we have Monday night against Detroit, and then we're in Lambeau against the Raiders, and then we're in Kansas City against the Chiefs.
Tough.
In LA against the Chargers.
Tough game.
And then in Lambeau against the Panthers. So, you know, no easy games.
There usually isn't in the NFL.
Yeah, there isn't, but it's just a, you know, overall, I think you can look at it and say we have a chance every game. And I'd say every game but the Chiefs there, we're probably the favorite, especially since it's in Kansas City.
That's another Sunday night game.
That'll be a hard game. I think the Panthers will be a hard game because we've seen, you know, stud running backs can kind of gouge us, and Christian McCaffrey's having a career season so far. So, but I'm excited. We're 4-1.
I really honestly, I told you last week, I didn't think we were going to be 3-1. So now we're 4-1. So I'm just going to keep saying it.
Just
maybe
keep
we'll just keep doing
wave.
It. It's like,
Super
oh,
Bowl,
I didn't expect us
come.
To be.
I mean, it's the 100th season. We won the first one. Let's win the 100th.
Let's go for it, baby.
All right.
Until
so.
Next week. Go, back, go.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go, pack, go.